Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and on this very lovely sunny day, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you and gave himself for you. I have been studying briefly in Isaiah, and I have looked at some of the teaching that we can discover in Isaiah. I would like to share with you another area of Scripture, which is found in Isaiah 9 and verse 2. They that dwell in the land, or the people who walk in darkness, will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. Thou shalt multiply the nation. Thou shalt increase with gladness. They will be glad in thy presence, and with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, a cloak rolled in blood, will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given to us, and the government shall rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or his peace, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now, I want to share this with you. I know it's about the birth of Jesus. I'm quite aware of that. But if you look at the first verse, which I omitted, there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he, God, shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness, and so on, as we've just read. If we turn the word of God over into the Gospel of John, we find some interesting references to make us rejoice in the presence of Jesus. Now, we know that he came suddenly, and yet he was long-expected Messiah. People knew the scriptures and knew where and when he should be born, and different ones understood the word of God quite clearly. But I want to share with you from the third chapter and verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, this is a tragedy that comes upon people. Verse 19 tells us, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We like the darkness because our deeds are not righteous, and we think somehow they're covered up because we can't see in the dark. If you go to some of these caves that are not far from this city here, where the Indians went when the cavalry were chasing them, Captain Fremont and others went down to get hold of the Indians. They vanished in the darkness of the caves. and nobody could see in those caves. Have you ever been in a cave like that? I have. I've been in these caves and they're almost oppressive. And the dreadful thing that happens is that you simply cannot see. Well, verse 20 takes us further into the thinking here and says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Isn't it a dreadful thing that most of the wretchedness that goes on in our world today is done in darkness? Our politicians meet secretly, and they meet on a holiday where people aren't listening to the radio or the television. We're not watching the news. And so they get away with things, and they say things, and they do things, and they agree that certain things will be done, even though it may be against the law to do it. What a shocking leadership this is that allows this sort of thing to go on. But it's always done in a sort of nefarious way, in a darkness. When these people are challenged by the ordinary citizen, "Tell us why you did this. Tell us how this came about. Show us why it was necessary," and so on and on and on. I think we get the most silly answers, if you can call them answers. For instance, I do not believe that it was a great thing that we killed Osama bin Laden, the way we killed him, if we killed him. The conspiracy theorists are working overtime, and some don't even think he was killed, but that he's been put on an island somewhere or in some such way, that he will live for a long time by himself. Whatever really did happen, we don't know. We are told when we trusted governments, it was okay, but we no longer trust governments, and it's not okay. And so I share with you that we live at a time which is very disturbing, because light is always the same. It illuminates, and darkness cannot stand with light. It cannot stand with light. It has to run away. The moment you flick the switch, darkness has gone. The moment the joy of the Lord Jesus enters your soul, the sin is gone. The darkness, the blackness that we see and criticize so easily in our day vanishes when our attention is taken up with the Lord Jesus. It is without shadow. God so loved the world, we're told, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. All we who are involved and all may receive the illumination. Are you illuminated? Do you see the light? Oh, I'm not being flippant at all. Are you seeing the light of the gospel in your life? Are you seeing the light of the joy of the gospel in your soul, in your family, in your workplace? Are you deep in the discussion of politics and silly things that you cannot change? Or are you working with the Lord Jesus Christ to bring the illumination, the radiance, and the beauty of his holiness? Not long ago, there was a beautiful young woman who sent me her photograph. Well, I looked at it and I thought, I should know who this person is, but nobody had told me I was going to get the photograph, and I was totally unsuspecting. I thought, this is a beautiful young woman. I wonder who she is. And I asked my wife, "Who's this that has sent me this beautiful picture of herself?" And my wife laughed. She said, "Don't you realize it's your only granddaughter?" Oh, She took my breath away for a moment or two. She was so beautiful. Well, if we see that beauty in the flesh, why can't we see the beauty of the holiness of Jesus? Why is it that we have to take the flesh and we have to parade it around and decorate it with tattoos and with jewelry? Why is it we have to do all of those sorts of things and pretend it's something it isn't? Talking to a young man who had got some interesting tattoos, and I'm fascinated to see the pictures, so I tend to outstay my welcome by looking. But I was looking at some of the things he had tattooed across his shoulders, and I said to him, "Why did you have all this done?" "Oh," he said, "the spread of the eagle wing is the might of America." Oh, I could agree with that, but why have it tattooed? Especially when the Word of God says, don't tattoo your bodies. But I know that's not fashionable. He went on to show me other tattoos on his arms and legs. He had a good reason for everything. But why? Why would you want to be a walking placard? People do this for some reason that I can't work out, but it's their joy and it's their style and it's their art and so on. I would suggest to you that you understand that holy light was switched on when Jesus was born. Why, we read this, that the heavens were opened, bright light shined, and the angels sang, and the singing of the angels caused everyone to recognize, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill among men. It was the message that God was sending down to people, that people would understand the scriptures were whole. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, nobody can hide from this light because the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ has poured his light into the life of everyone, especially those who are coming up to death. We read of people who say they've had an out-of-body experience, and I'm glad for them that they've had it. I don't quite understand that. But they've had this out-of-body experience, and it means so much to them because they saw this light coming towards them. One man said to me, "I saw this light shining and coming toward me like a great orb, and it was radiant, it was magnificent, and it caught my attention and held my fascination for quite some time, and then it burst in my mind and heart, and I saw light." Well, that sounds very wonderful. I have seen such light just by being on my knees in front of the Lord. I've seen light that is beyond the imagination of light. I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen a day pass. I was in an airplane crossing the Arctic. The pilot said, "If you look out the window, you'll see the sunset and the sunrise in 120 seconds. So everybody went to that side of the airplane and were looking out, and sure enough, there went the sun down. That was the sunset. And here came the sun up. That was a sunrise. Wow! Now the brightness of the sun going down didn't actually clear from our eyes before the brightness of the sun rising was shining in our eyes again. And it was glorious, it was remarkable, it was wonderful, it was just fantastic. So I have seen that light. But I've also seen the light of the sun coming up over the waters through the mist. I've seen the light coming up over the mountains through the grandeur. I've seen the light reflecting on all the thousands and thousands and thousands of diamonds that are made of dew in the morning. I have seen them on the grass, on the lawn, sparkling like everything. And the riches of heaven are like that. They sparkle beyond all imagination. Sparkling. Just absolutely fantastic. You see, they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. What light? The light of God Almighty. What death? The death that shuns light because it's full of evil deeds. Full of evil deeds. The radiant outpouring of this holy light, a virgin brought forth a son, just as the tomb wherein never man was laid, so the tomb was without defilement of any kind, pure light, marvelous light, wonderful birth, sunrise on the mountains, great shadows on the valley floors. Jesus is risen from the dead. I love this. I love this word of God. It's so precious and is so full. And I will not get through my notes today, but I just wanted to share this. I want to share this with you. Great shadows on the valley floors, but the shadow of death. Let's examine this just for a moment or two. We are aware of the coolness of death. A body is cold because the blood ceases to be pumped through the body, and the body cools off and becomes cold. We have seen much death, and we have seen a great deal of coldness. We know the touch of this coldness. We feel its icy fingers grope around us and about us. We experience its chill. How final to those who are without light. How final it is to be without the Lord Jesus in the heart is to live in the Arctic without shelter, without food. It is isolated, without hope, without companionship, out in space, without communication with home and the home base. Seeing the world in 90 minutes, not being able to touch the land, to orbit, but lost. Isn't that incredibly difficult? The shadow is there. Now, the shadow of death, for some, this is absolutely terrifying. And for others, it's a great relief. For when I lay down this body of mine, it shall be taken into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and somehow he will change this vile body for a new body. But I know this, that there will be a sort of twinkle in his eye when I go from this world into the next and he receives me unto himself. For others, it's a relief. That's me. How many have contemplated suicide this last weekend? How often have we recoiled with horror as we have all kinds of ideas of wrongness? And I have to say, have you been covered with incurable disease? Well, even that comes. The shadow of death of an incurable disease comes. Relentlessly, it approaches all of us. Inevitably, it overtakes life. To die in the arms of Jesus, the babe embracing the adult in the hollow of his hand. I have the privilege, you have the joy and privilege of just being in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Death is not really dying. If you're loving Jesus, it is transferring your soul into the presence of Jesus completely. Today, it is not completely there. That is, it is still housed in the body that you look after every day, the thing you wash and look and cure and do your best to keep it sharp and clean, that body that holds your spirit and your soul, oh, my dear friend, it's time for you and it's time for me and it's time for all mankind to have a good look at death. Death stares us in the face every day. Every day we get into our vehicles and we travel down the freeway. Every day we go out and about. Every day. Those of you who like to get into sports, it's so easy to have an accident. It's so easy for a small thing to turn into a very terrible thing. Death overwhelms our bodies. If you're climbing a mountain, it's just one slip. It's just one piece of rope that gives way, one axe that will not hold, and you're gone. And for seconds, you're sliding down a slippery slope into eternity, and you end up in eternity. That's called death. But if Jesus is with you, you know that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you, and that he will hold you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So death simply gives you a different body, a different time zone, as it were, a different experience. You're not dead, dead. You see, in the hollow of the hand of the Lord Jesus is safer than anywhere else. To be held by Jesus, the shadow reminds us of death would bind us. But Jesus shines through us, and the death itself cannot hold us. Some of you were so in love with your spouse, and your spouse died. Some of you were so in love with your child, and your child died. Some of you were so much in love with your parents, but they died. And you're disappointed. And I've heard people say things like this: I can't wait to go to heaven so that I can see my wife, my husband, and so on, all the relatives that they ream off. Yep, I think that's a wonderful thought. But do you know what I think is greater than that? I think it's this, that we contemplate the presence of Jesus more and more and more. You see, he is our counselor. He is the one that will keep us and never leave us and always watch over us. He is the one that never lets us go. People that are broken and shattered listen with their ears and find remote places on earth and gird themselves up and get themselves altered so that they can love Jesus. God is with us, and God is good. He wishes you no ill, and all the punishment for sin has been dealt with. Jesus has absorbed all of the wrath of God on your behalf. Let's look and close with this from the fourth verse of this ninth chapter of Isaiah. Burdens are lifted by the Lord Jesus. Look at this fourth verse. For thou shalt break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders. There are things that are in our lives that need to be broken away from. There are things in our lives that are absolutely terrifying. But Jesus has dealt with those things. Jesus has given us a new way of seeing life. And it is rise, shine, and let your name be the name that is included with the name of Jesus. And let the name of Jesus be above every name in your experiences. In Psalm 84, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And this is written in three stanzas. I would just share with you, the Lord Jesus is our friend. The Lord Jesus is the one that will keep us from falling. Rise up, shine up, and be for him, for he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me, that the shadow of death will not make us fearful, and death itself will not take away from us. I often sing to my own heart, when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. When I tread the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. I shall shine. The beauty of his holiness will shine. The light of his presence, his radiant light, will shine. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord be with you. Let's pray. Now we ask you, Lord, that you'll cram all of this into our minds and hearts, and then extract from us the ability to shine in the presence of all that comes upon us, the disappointments, the shadows, the difficulties. Oh, Lord, be upon us now. Bless us now. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.